Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Canto 7, chapter 3, text 21. Tatastha Ashishak Sarva. Tadamya Surapungava. Matasya Teya Martasya. Darshanam Na Palam Mama. Tataha, because of this, te, unto you, ashishaha, benedictions, sarvaha, all, tadami, I shall give, asura pungava, O best of the asuras, Martasya, of one who is destined to die. Te, such as you. He, indeed. Armatasya, of one who does not die. Darshanam, the audience. Na, not. Afalam, without results. Mama, mine. Translation. O best of the asuras, for this reason I am now prepared to give you all benedictions according to your desire. I belong to the celestial world of demigods who do not die like human beings. Therefore, although you are subject to death, your audience with me will not go in vain. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It appears that human beings and asuras are subject to death, whereas demigods are not. The demigods who reside with Lord Brahma in Satya Loka go to Vaikuntha Loka in their present bodily constructions at the time of the dissolution. Therefore, although Hiranyakashipu had undergone severe austerities, Lord Brahma predicted that he had to die. He could not become immortal or even gain equal status with the demigods. The great austerities and penances he had performed for so many years could not give him protection from death. This was foretold by Lord Brahma. Tatastha ashisha sarva dadam yasura pungava martasya te himartasya darshanam nafalam mama. O best of the asuras, for this reason I am now prepared to give you all benedictions according to your desire. I belong to the celestial world of demigods who do not die like human beings. Therefore, although you are subject to death, your audience with me will not go in vain. So, Lord Brahma came upon Hiranyakashipu in a fantastic state in which he was carrying the life airs within the bones of his body, which was an austerity which was almost unheard of. His flesh, organs, everything had been eaten away in 100 celestial years. And celestial years are very, very long. But somehow or other he's maintaining his life air in the bones of his body. And Brahmaji appeared on the scene because Hiranyakashipu was causing such a great disturbance within the universe by his austerities. Nevertheless, Brahma is not in a position to do the impossible. After all, Hiranyakashipu was an asura. And he was not even a demigod. He was not a demigod. Prabhupada explains here that the demigods, they are allowed, if they belong to these higher planets, like Satyaloka, to go to Vaikuntha Loka in their present bodily constructions at the time of dissolution. So, we are somewhere between the asuras and the demigods. So, our destination is up to us. Actually, this planet is called Martyaloka. And those who live here are Martasya. They're destined to die. Krishna says, for one who is born, death is certain. And for one who is dead, birth is certain. So this is our destiny. Born on this particular planet, in this particular time. However, unlike Hiranyakashipu, who's standing on the tips of his feet with his hands in the air, we have good fortune to be instructed how to perform austerity so that we can be even more successful than Hiranyakashipu. Of course, Hiranyakashipu was successful in the end, and that's a long story. Because Hiranyakashipu was not an ordinary person, but actually had appeared to perform this leela but we can't claim that we were previously the gatekeepers in Vaikuntha. So we understand that we're in a position of responsibility. We can either go down or we can go up. In the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that this material world is like a reflection of the spiritual world. Adva mulam adashakam. The branch is down and its roots upwards. So, we're in a topsy-turvy situation. We're taking for reality that which is not actually reality. And we've been born in illusion, in a situation where we cannot understand the spiritual world. But this creation does spring from Brahmaji. From his creation, this reflection is existing, just like in the river. We see a tree on the bank of the river, and we see in the surface of the water, we see a reflection of the tree. Now both are real, the tree on the bank of the river is real, and the tree in the reflection is real. But there's a difference in the quality of reality. The tree in the reflection is insubstantial, it's disturbed, it's intangible. It only exists by sight. So this inverted world is the world we find ourselves in. This is the world of those who are subjected to death, Martasya. one who's destined to die. So, we're more fortunate than Hiranyakashipu in the sense that we've been given a very nice process for overcoming this world of birth and death. We are trying to go to the same place that Prabhupada refers to here, Vaikuntha Loka, Krishna Loka, where there is no birth or death. So, spiritual master is teaching us the process of tapasya. And of course the main process of our tapasya is brahmacharity, is to be brahmachari, to remain always in Brahman. Brahmacharity means one who remains always in Brahman, or always meditating on Radha and Krishna. Prabhupada explains this process is very simple. You have to remember Radha and Krishna. This is the whole aim of our tapasya. And a brahmachari life is meant for this tapasya. In fact, grihastha life is also meant for tapasya, the same tapasya. Vanaprastha life is meant for the same tapasya, remembering Radha and Krishna. Sannyas life is also meant for remembering Radha and Krishna. And this is explained in the 15th chapter also. How we should get free from this condition of being destined to die. Amartasya. Nimana moha jita sanga dosha. Adhyatma nitya vinivritta karma. Tvanve vimukta sukaduka samgir gachancha muda padam avyayam tat. We want to go to this padam avyayam, the eternal situation. That is what we want. But we're not in an eternal situation at the moment. So we have to become near mana moha, free from false prestige and illusion. This is the reason why we are appearing in this world at birth and death. Because this is a flickering situation, just like the waves on the river, on the ocean. Or the waves on the river, which are reflecting that tree. It's a flickering situation. Flickering from birth to death, birth to death, birth to death, birth to death. Lifetime after lifetime. We're just catching a reality. What is reality? Catching some reality. And then, again, death. And then another flash of reality, and then again death. Why? Because we're full of false prestige, which is an untenable situation. We're thinking that we want to be the Lord. And so this is illusion. Moha. Mana moha. This is an illusory situation that we find ourselves in. We're trying to exist in a reflection, in a dream. So how can that be? Krishna's doing his best to satisfy our desires. He's a super soul. But how can he give the impossible? We are not God. Krishna is God, but we're wanting to be God. Prabhupada gives a nice example, just like a child who wants the moon. What does the mother do? The mother gives a mirror. Says, here's the moon. Can you see? Now you have the moon. So we're trying to live in that moon-like reflection. So the Vaishnava, he's recognized by Jita Sangha Dosha. He's free from bad association, faulty association. So, by the association of pure devotees, this is our safe situation for getting out of this illusion. Adhyatma nitya vinivritta karma. Adhyatma nitya. That means spiritual knowledge. We develop in the association of devotees spiritual knowledge by the hearing process. This is the the tapasya that the brahmacharis and those in the renounced order of life mainly concentrate on in this Kali Yuga, the hearing process, sankirtan process. In this way we become free from all the dirty things in our heart, vinivritta karma, vitaraja bhaya krodha, mamaya mamupasita, bahava jnana tapasa puta, madbhavam agata. Many, many persons have become freed from attachment, fear and anger by this process. It's not just some invented process, it's something which has been going on for millions and millions of years. This is the standard process of tapasya, which is recommended for those, especially the brahmacharis, who sacrifice the hearing process. So we're sacrificing the hearing process to get spiritual knowledge, to become purified. Tada raja tamo bhava kama lobadayas chaye chata ate anavidam stitam sattve prasidati. The brahmachari has to be situated in sattva gun. When all these raja and the mode of ignorance and passion is wiped away by this process of hearing, and we become situated in sattva gun. This is the tapasya that Prabhupada expects of us. Everyone in this Krishna conscious movement has to be able to stand up and function in sattva gun, follow the four regulative principles, chant 16 rounds. This way, by the shravanam, kirtanam, we become purified. Tanve vimukta sukaduka samgir. This way we become free from duality. So this is the surrendering process. This is the surrendering process. The process for going out of the material world is the process of giving up our attachment to this material world. The process for going to the spiritual world means we have to let go of this material world. We have to awaken to our real position. We have to become free from these dualities of happiness and distress. This is called, as I say, Brahma charity, always remaining in Brahman in any situation. This is the training which the spiritual master is giving us in the spiritual life, and we're very fortunate. At an early age, we've been able to contact bona fide spiritual master, hear his instructions, and this way form a foundation for our future life. Actually, human form of life is not ordinary form of life. Prabhupada explains in the Upanishad, just like the swine and the lower animals, their life is conducted under miserable conditions of life. But why do we have such nice facilities? Clean cloth, nice place to live, some heating, cars we can drive around in, we can eat nice clean food, we're not eating stool in the gutter. Why? Because human form of life is meant for responsibility. Just like a higher paid worker in the government, he gets a nice office, he gets a free car, expense account. But someone who's doing some lower job, he won't get such good facilities. The human form of life is facility for brahmacharya, for remaining in Brahman. This is the whole purpose, and it's fulfilled by associating with the spiritual master, following these instructions. And the basis of our future life is now we are in training as students. Actually, we're always students, of course, because the spiritual master is our eternal teacher, and we have to learn from him always. But particularly in brahmacharya life, it's our opportunity for preparing for other ashrams also, which is a very serious business. For instance, in the Grihastha ashram, there is huge responsibility. There is responsibility for taking one's wife back home, back to Godhead. Taking one's children back to Godhead. Not only just looking after oneself, but looking after one's wife and one's children. You may want to have many children. That's very difficult. It's actually a huge responsibility. and not something which should be thought of lightly. And therefore the spiritual master, he trains his disciples to get prepared for the worst possible conditions. We may think, well, it's difficult enough going on traveling Sankirtan, taking bath in the cold, and going on the street every day. But at least the mind is satisfied with a simple life. One doesn't have any disturbances. But in the next ashram, Grihastha ashram, which many of us may go to, move up to, or have to go through, then there's so many other disturbances in the mind. How to get money, how to provide for the children, how to keep our family Krishna conscious, and also how to preach. These things will be there. Therefore Rishabhdev warned his sons, they should not become parents, they should not become husband, should not become wife, should not become teacher, and so on. Unless you can deliver your dependents from birth and death. This is huge responsibility. So, therefore, brahmacharya life particularly is a great opportunity to perform tapasya without so much huge responsibility and become fixed up in Krishna consciousness, always remembering the Supreme Lord, practicing how to surrender, making a foundation for our future life. Gacchancha muda padamaviyam tat. To attain that supreme abode. And that supreme abode is also described in this 15th chapter. And Prabhupada says this should captivate us. This information should captivate us. We who are living in this flickering dark world, we should be captivated by the idea of going to that place. It's described in Bhagavad Gita. Natad basayato suryo. Nishashanka napavaka. Yadgatana na nivartante tad dhamma paramam mama. So in that abode of Krishna's, there's no need for sun, moon, or electricity. Natad basayate suryo. There's no need for the light of the sun. Nishashanka, nor of the moon. Napavaka, nor of fire. And those who go there, they don't return again. That is my supreme abode. So we should be captivated by this information. And this Krishna conscious movement is just meant for getting this information, for being captivated by this information. That was the mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we also have this same mission to captivate others by this information. Isn't it? Everyone is walking around as though they're condemned to death. I always remember that story when I was a new devotee. I was always told this story, but I can't remember where it is in Prabhupada's book, so maybe I shouldn't repeat it. But still I'm going to repeat it. You've probably heard it hundreds of times before. But it always, for me, it was always giving a nice picture of Krishna conscious life. How these men were walking along by the side of the river and they were carrying these big loads on their backs. Big heavy stones. And trudging along. And they looked over the river and there was a whole bunch of devotees all dancing and chanting and singing. So the first guy looks over at these people. Oh, what are they doing? Why didn't they get a job? Why didn't they do some good hard work like me? These stupid people dancing and singing. So in this way, he trudged on in a burdened state. Then the next man came along and he looked at the devotees dancing and singing in ecstasy. And he's a little bit captivated. what's going on here? And he went down to the bank of the river, his big load on his back, big lump of stones. Actually, in Nepal, you can see it, people carrying lumps of stones, carrying everything on their back. They build huge factory buildings, skyscrapers, buildings, and everything, every piece of stone is carried by hand. Actually, by the managers, by the ladies. The ladies do all the dirty work in India and Nepal. They carry a basket full of stones, and when they dump it off on top of the building, they climb all the way up the top of the building, throw it off, and then they come all the way down again, fill it up, and then they go all the way up. And they get paid per basket. You get paid 10 paisa per basket or something. Anyway, this man, he came down and looked across the river, and he thought, well, yes, it looks nice, very nice. Let me go and join them. So this way he went into the water and started getting his knees wet. And then he thought, yes, very nice. And as he goes into the water, then he realized, well, how can I cross the river with my stones? I can't swim across the river with my stones. So I can't join. And he turned around and went back. So this way he carried on walking. But finally, of course, the last man came, and he went down to, he was also captivated, he went to the bank of the river, and he thought, well, if I want to cross the river, I have to dump my stones. So he did. And he swam across the river, joined the devotees. So this attachment to this material world has to be dumped, actually, by this surrendering process, Nirmana Moha Citta Sangha Dosha. This is the Krishna conscious movement, is the surrendering process, the process for going back home, back to Godhead. Bhakti yoga is the way and is the means and the end. By bhakti yoga, we dump our false ego, we dump our illusion, we dump our false prestige, and we cross over this ocean of birth and death in the boat of the Vedic scriptures with the captain of the spiritual master. And we go back home, back to Godhead. This is our Krishna conscious process, and we aim to take as many people as we can with us. This is the Sankirtan process. Sri Harinam Sankirtan Ki, Mahamantra Ki, Srimad Bhagavatam Grantharaj Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Thank you very much. Is there any questions, please? There was another story, I think, definitely Prabhupada told this one, of how one time, in India, you've probably seen on the Ganga sometimes, one man, he walks along the bank with a rope, and he's pulling the boat with that long, long rope. He's walking along and he's pulling that rope, pulling the boat along the river. They're steering. Because there's no wind, they have to do that. Sometimes there's no wind and the current's the wrong way. So they have to pull the boat upstream. So, one day the king was giving boons. He happened to be passing that way. And he saw this man pulling the boat. I probably got the story wrong, but the basic idea is there. So he asked this man, what do you want? What would you like? I'll give you anything in the whole kingdom. Somehow or other, it pleased him. So he said, all right, yes. When I walk along the bank of the river pulling the boat, I just would like to have mattresses so my feet don't hurt so much. You see. So although he was offered everything, still he couldn't even understand being free from his attachment. So this is very unfortunate. Therefore we have to, our Sankirtan means going out, we're making people fortunate, telling people about this ultimate goal. People don't even know that there's a place where there's no birth or death. They can't even imagine. They're trying to make do with birth and death. But we're telling them about the ultimate happiness. So this is the Sankirtan movement. And by hearing, gradually, we come to our senses, and the whole world may come to its senses if we distribute these books and press on with this preaching work. Any other question? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.